Welcome to Patched Atlas, exploring the systems behind modern technology.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Patched Atlas. I am probably FX. So, GDPR came into use, 8 years ago? Is everyone having a good time yet? I actually have this topic in my head because I'm writing part of my PhD about this idea of user intent being a protected resource instead of something that needs to be guarded against. And this, I'm not going fully into that. I want to talk about something that I've realized over the past few months while writing this paper, and it's the idea that consent has become weaponized in technology. So GDPR was a law that came into place. It was designed to require meaningful consent, but the way it has been interpreted and implemented has produced the exact opposite. You've all been to websites that have given you an immediate pop-up that says, hey, we are collecting your data for marketing purposes. And they always have a dark pattern, which is, you know, three buttons. Either a yes or a no would be sensible. But the three buttons that they give you are a yes, partially yes, no. And what they do is there are different grades of this. You might find a reasonable one that just has those two choices, those three choices, sorry. Or you might find one where accepting is one button press and rejecting requires you to scroll down and click on every partner that you don't want your data to be shared with. It's not a real choice. It's not a system designed to work. It doesn't obey the law. It obeys the letter of the law. It ignores the spirit of the law. And then you get the options like pay or consent, which is not a real choice. And this is the problem. Consent now exists as a legal shield, and it does nothing to empower users. And I want to discuss some technological misunderstandings of things. And the first one I want to discuss is websites are not what lawmakers are claiming they are. A website is a poster. A website is not a very private thing that you enter. It is something that you stumble upon and walk past. It's like there's episode, if you know XKCD, you might know 932, which is a comic that shows hackers briefly took down the website of the CIA, and normal people think someone hacked the computers of the CIA, and nerds think someone tore down the poster of the CIA. And it's like a public website without login is equivalent to a poster in a public space. Viewing should not be considered agreeing to a contract. In the current model, you glance at a poster, and that immediately forces you to sign the terms and conditions to view a poster. And you can be monetized from nothing more than that first click. And that's what all of this is about. It's about people making money off your very existence. And it's absurd. Like, passive access is not a contractual agreement. Imagine that you stop in a park to look at a poster, and the poster has a built-in camera, and that takes your picture and sends it back to an advertiser so that they can follow you. That's exactly what's happening. And the reason that one click is all it takes is that IP addresses exist. So you have an IP address, which, let's say for simplicity, is 1234. And that's your address. So you go to a juice website to buy a juice, and they know that 1234 came here to advertise. They send this to their advertising partners, their background partners. Their background partners also receive information that you were shopping for clothes from a different website, shopping for a DVD from a third website, because apparently it's 2005 and we still use DVDs. And they build a profile. And the more they know about you is the more they can make about you. The more they can make money from your existence. They don't need a name. They don't need to know who you are. They can see from your buying patterns what you're most likely to be. They can determine your gender. They can determine your age. They can determine your location, which matters. And that matters for buying power purely because of like how geography works and people of the same economic bands tend to end up settling in the same places. So they can sell you more expensive things if you live in a more expensive neighborhood, cheaper things if you don't. And all this data gathers, and it starts the second you click on a website. That's what this prompt is for. Can we stalk you as soon as you visit our website? And you might be saying, what are you talking about, random robot? You are a cybersecurity person, and this is a user experience problem and not a security problem. And I kind of agree. A crippled internet is very much in the user experience category. But several things happen as a result of it. And one of them is signal distortion. If you are constantly inundated with prompts that ask you to agree to something you don't want to, you start automatically dismissing them. You start clicking without focus, which means you stop evaluating risk correctly. And a consequence of this is phishing dialogues can start to blend in. Malicious permissions can be accepted. The browser warnings can be ignored. What happens is, if you create friction on every action that a user is required to take, then legitimate friction that is being added because you are under attack from a security threat can blend into the background. And we actually see this more in a, not exactly a security standpoint, but look at the amount of people who now resort to AIs instead of search engines. It's not because the AI is giving them a better answer. It's not because the AI is giving them more accurate information. It's because it lacks friction. They have to go one place to get the answer to their question. And if it's a common enough question, the AI will give them a reasonable answer. If it has nuance, the AI is not going to, and it will screw up. But that doesn't matter because they have received an answer without searching, without going to seven websites, each of which demanded to be allowed to track them as soon as they pressed the link to go there. So much friction has been added to the daily life of people affected by GDPR that it has crippled the internet, and it has increased the ability of fraudulent systems of actual attacks to slip through the net. And that's the thing, it's the threat model. You've trained users to accept 50 dialogues a day, and then one day the fake prompt asks for a notification permission, or worse, to download something, and the user doesn't even evaluate it. They just click through. That's exactly how we're conditioning our users. And people are talking about like chat control and other age authentication measures as the precursor to online government surveillance, but I kind of think they missed the bus. I think GDPR was the precursor to it. Designed to protect us, but implemented in such a fumbled way that it led where we are now. We live in an era where consent has been weaponized, and it exists to shift liability and normalize surveillance. And because I don't just want to be here complaining about things, I like to offer an actual solution. This one, the solution is quite simple, and it's to ask the question where consent should live. And the easy answer is at the identity layer. So login, the sign-up level. This is the only place where a user has a real choice of, yes, you are allowed to acknowledge my existence. The default should be anonymous, minimal tracking. But as soon as someone signs up or logs in, they are saying, yes, I agree for you to acknowledge my existence in a meaningful way. I am engaging with your service, and therefore you are allowed to track me. Non-essential tracking should follow the intent, not whatever they feel like. So after login, explicit contextual consent exists, but before logging in, it doesn't. It should also maintain anonymity. So if I haven't logged in, the system should treat me as anonymous, regardless of what it can infer technically. And that means third-party tracking systems, which aggregate data from 1,000 different websites to build an exact model of you as a person without being told anything other than your shopping and browsing habits, should not be allowed. Consent and identity need to go hand in hand. And I don't mean your personal identity. I mean, consent requires a stable, deliberate interaction context, not a passive visit. And an identity must be a username, not an IP address, because the fun thing about IP addresses is they change. You can literally put on a VPN and you'll have the browsing data of 1,000 other people who connected to that VPN. The tracking through IP addresses relies on exploiting the lack of understanding of non-technological people, that they don't understand they are being tracked, that they don't understand the extent to which they are being followed, and the extent to which their data is used and exploited. I don't believe consent should be portable. Agreeing to something on one site should not grant permission anywhere else. A sign up and therefore consent must take place on the website in question. So consent needs to be tied to context and intent. And of course it should default to no tracking. So before login, tracking should be functional for security purposes, things like fraud, denial of service detection, abuse prevention. Use of this data for marketing purposes should be explicitly forbidden. The desire to sell data is not a security purpose. It's not. And search engine filters should be a thing. I watched this video about different search engines and I forget which one it was, but one had this kind of allow and block lists, which let you say, I never want to see this website again, or please promote this website. And I think that should be a requirement for all search engines. If I want to filter out paywalled content and sites that track before login, I should 100% be allowed to do that on every search engine. That should be a mandatory requirement to provide a search engine. And there are counter arguments, I'm sure, like, can't you usernames still be correlated across sites? And it's like, sure, but you've signed up for those services, so you should know that. But at least that happens in a context where the user has made a deliberate choice to sign up. It's not passive tracking, which happens without meaningful action. And there are ways around that, like Proton Mail allows for email addresses, which can deter correlation attempts. Can't stop them because the aliases are at times these dynamic things that you just add a plus and then a name to. So any script can get around that, but well, there's some consideration there. But the current model is kind of like walking through a supermarket and you pick up a box of cereal to check its nutritional content or whatever, check it's chocolatey enough for you. And while you're reading it, you notice that someone has started following you around, taking notes about which boxes you're looking at. Which, honestly, they might be given how much manipulative psychology goes into supermarkets. It's kind of astounding. There's a great food theory video on how it works. It's, like, awful. They're using olfactory generators to pump smells in to lure you in and such. It's so manipulative when you get down to it. It's kind of funny. Another counter-argument is, doesn't requiring logging being before meaningful interaction discourage anonymous access? And yeah, kind of does. I'll agree to that. And it kind of depends where. Like Wikipedia, no. News websites, not the reputable ones. Marketing websites, anything selling you something, yes. But I think that's an acceptable line to draw. And then another question will be, who defines identity and when it's required? And that's kind of the point. We need a hard rule. And I believe that rule should be identity, and therefore consent is the act of logging into a system. Anything else is passive viewing and should be treated as such. And the last counter argument, I guess, is that people just want free stuff. And it's like, sure, everyone loves free stuff. I think what I want personally is not to be making money for giant American corporations who sell every bit of information they have about me so that I can be marketed to better. I don't believe that my existence should be a marketable capacity. And there is a harsh truth. The current model of marketing cookies is exploitative. Businesses thrive on this exploitative model. And they do so by making the internet a worse place. The real choice that needs to be in position for marketing consent is based off three pillars, and it's like clarity, consistency, and intent. The current system provides none of those, and we've blurred the lines between showing up and taking part. And by doing so, we have lost the very concept of meaningful consent. And that's all I have for you today. I hope those guidelines are helpful for someone deciding whether to engage in manipulative marketing practices or not. My advice is don't. But I hope you've enjoyed this episode and that you'll join me again next time for Patched Atlas.
Thank you for listening to Patched Atlas. You can find more episodes at patchedatlas.com, on YouTube, or in your podcast app.